any of you who are new this year. Thank you for having me, allowing me to speak to you this evening. I'm very glad. Let's open the prayer before we get started. Most holy and faithful Lord in heaven, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we can be together here as youth and chaperones and leaders. And Lord, we pray that our time together would be a great blessing. Lord, you have blessed this camp for so many years to all of our hearts, especially to the hearts and souls of young people. You have saved sinners. You have built up beginning Christians. You have fostered and begun lifelong relationships. And dear Lord, we pray that you would work again this year. As we explore the topic of wisdom and we look at what your word has to say about wisdom, so Lord, bless it to all of our hearts. Bless our time together as your church. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So what I'm doing this evening is I'm trying to set a foundation with our topic this evening for the rest of the topics that are coming after me. So if you look through your folder, you see the different outlines that are there. They're more specific. They're dealing with relationships, or they're dealing with more practical wisdom. And what I'm going to try and do for this very first topic is get to the foundation of wisdom. Where does true wisdom come from? And just explore the topic, try and set the stage for what is going to come after. So my outline has changed a little bit. So if you look in the folder, my very sparse outline there, and as we go through, you'll see there's some words that have changed a little bit. But overall, it's kind of the same. Overall, it's kind of the same. So what we're talking about tonight is true wisdom glorifies God. And we're principally going to be looking at what true wisdom is. What is true wisdom? And I'm going to start looking at it from a negative perspective. Looking at what isn't wise or what is foolish. And I think we can all agree. I think we can all agree here. I'm going to have to put two things here. So, okay. I think we can all agree that nobody, none of you, want to be a fool. None of you want to be thought of as a fool. So, but what do we think of? What do we think of when we think of a fool? So, I think this is sometimes what our thoughts are. So this person is foolish. They've taken electrical wire and they've put it together and they've shocked themselves and they've made a fool out of themselves. Or we think of the classical, the medieval fool, the medieval joker. Or we think of this gentleman high up in a tree, cutting the tree limb, and he's going to fall. Or perhaps someone doing something in a foolish way. Or someone acting the fool. Someone acting the fool. But really, what is a fool? What is? Well, the Bible answers this question for us. And fool is actually, it's a very harsh word to call someone that. You don't really go around calling people this. It's very insulting. So tonight, as I speak about it, in no way are we trying to come across as insulting other people. But there is the reality of what Scripture teaches us. The Scripture does teach us that we can be a fool. Now, we tend to think of fools being kind of like the picture we just saw. People doing very foolish things. And that happens. You know, I think we all can look back, and we can all see probably numerous times that we've done very foolish things. So, a couple of things to keep in mind. A fool is not someone who necessarily lacks intelligence. There are also young fools. There are old fools. There's rich fools. There's poor fools. Perhaps you, if you look at Scripture, perhaps you can think of fools. I'm really asking you this right now. Think through Scripture. Can you name any fools in Scripture? Name any fools? Nabal was a fool, right? He was married to Abigail, and he refused to help David. He refused to feed David. He was being very foolish. Being very foolish, correct? And there's anyone else? Anyone else? King Ahaz was a fool, right? Why would you say he was a fool? Okay, so Ahab was a fool, right? Because he wanted that vineyard so bad, and he ended up sinning really. He ended up greatly sinning with Jezebel, correct? And you can name lots and lots of people in Scripture who have been very foolish. They've been very foolish. They've sinned greatly. You can start with Adam. Adam was a fool for what he did. Adam and they were foolish. You can go through Scripture and name godly people even. You can name David. Times when he acted so foolish. Think of extreme examples such as Saul or Judas. Very, very foolish. Very foolish men. But let's see. We're principally talking or speaking about the book of Proverbs. This isn't in the book of Proverbs, but let's see what Scripture has to say about fools. This is a text that comes right to mind. Fools say that there is no God. Fools say that there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 14, verse 1, and Psalm 53, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, I know some very smart people who are atheists. They say there is no God. And they have some things they do are wise. Some things that they say are wise. But the foundation of their beliefs, the foundation of what they believe, the foundation of their worldview that impacts everything else in their life. What else does Scripture say? Fools despise and disregard God. They hate knowledge and instruction. So this can be in a general sense. Fools tend not to listen to good advice. Think of a fool, someone gives them, don't jump off the cliff, and they go jump off of it anyway. But this is kind of what happens with the advice that the Lord gives, the advice that Scripture gives. Not that fools don't heed the knowledge. They don't heed the instructions of Scripture. They despise wisdom and instruction. Fools hate knowledge. Fools hate knowledge. Fools reject God's call to wisdom. And God doesn't call one. We see our God as a very gracious God who calls again and again and again. The fool continues to reject this, continues to hate knowledge, continues to despise the instruction that the Lord has given. Jesus 2 in Proverbs 1, 24 through 25. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. What Scripture is calling. Fools love to do. We look at Proverbs 1, that's one of the first things that Solomon gets to. A warning. Warning the young man not to fall in with those who do evil. Fools love to do evil. They love to prey on the innocent. They're greedy for gain, willing to get gain from others. They're willing to shed blood. They're willing to commit adultery. They hate God's law. Now, these are very blatant examples. Very blatant examples of what fools are like. But if we take a good look at our hearts, maybe this is true for us. Maybe we're not doing this outwardly, but we see these things inside. We'd rather tend towards the unrighteous. We laugh with the evil. We prey on the innocent. We're greedy for gain. We're willing to hate others. Our mind goes to places it shouldn't be. And we don't love God's law. We hate God's law. We think of God's law as something that is restrictive, something that prevents us from living the way that we want to live. We think of self-lie in our own. I'll point this out. It's a fool. Let's look at the fool. But we also have. Sorry, I missed all these. But we also have. We don't want to be the fool. We don't want this to be true about us. We all want to be wise in our. We want everyone around us to look at us as, oh, that person, God, or Sarah, they're really wise. They're really wise. You know how people look at this gentleman? And can anyone tell me who this is? It's Oppenheimer, the guy who invented the nuclear bomb, or one of the guys, but he was the head of the project. Right. Oppenheimer, very smart man. Very smart man. Okay, I better see a lot of him for this one. Who is this gentleman? Who's this gentleman right there? Albert Einstein. Very good. And so this other one, people will probably think very wise and successful. I think everyone knows who she is. Okay, let's try a couple others. Everyone wants to be wise. Everyone should know who he is. Did say he's very smart and wise in many ways, right? Elon Musk. Okay. Who's that? You guys know who that is? Some of you should. Oprah Winfrey, right? And okay, if someone gets this one, anyone know who that is? Anyone? No, it's not Rosa Parks, but good guess. She was a very, very smart mathematician who helped develop the NASA program, helped get people on the moon. You know, you got me, but I don't remember her name. I just looked her up. So, okay, so we're going to do a little bit something here. Oh, wait, I keep there. Here we go. Okay. So those are very wise people. Now, when the world looks at what is wise, a lot of times they look at philosophy. A lot of times they look at all these philosophical ideas, and this is what wise, they look at philosophers as being really wise. So up here, what I have is I have pictures. They're not all philosophers, but they're all associated with different worldviews, different philosophical ideas. Any philosophy majors here? Okay, so we're gonna play a game. So not a game. Well, we'll just try this. Okay, it's not working. There we go. Stoicism. Who's heard of stoicism? Okay, I see a few hands. Okay, for time's sake, I'm not gonna go into really what it is. It's kind of just grin and bear it. I'm very simplifying it to get through life. Don't get too emotional about what's going on in life. It's more complicated than that. But that'll help you, the world view to help you get through life. Okay, which of these people do you think it is? Any idea? It's like the founder of Stoicism. Do any of you know? He might be in there, but that's not what the internet told me. So, why isn't it go to? What's going on? Okay, so it should go. It shouldn't go that way. Look. Okay, so that's that gentleman at the very bottom towards the right. It's supposed to spin. He's supposed to spin around. It's doing it here, but anyway, so this statue right here, he's supposed to spin. And then his name is Zeno of Citium. Okay, so the next one we have is existentialism. Can anyone explain what existentialism is? Anyone? Okay, it's kind of like postmodernism, which we're going to get to later, but you derive all meaning and purpose in your life. It comes from yourself. Life is meaningless. It's actually a very depressing worldview. Any idea who was the guy who up there who did it? Yes. Very good. Søren Kierkegaard. He's the guy. It's kind of a pencil drawing at the very, very top right. Okay, the next thing we got is hedonism, or you could say Epicureanism. In the New Testament, they talk about the Epicureans. Can anyone tell me what that worldview is? Right, you live for pleasure. You live for what makes you happy. Okay, any idea who that is? It's old. That's a hint. It's an old, very old philosophy. The top, yes, Epicurean. Right. Okay, nihilism. This is the idea that nothing can be known or communicated. You can't really know anything. These are all very depressing, but this is worldly wisdom. This is what the world calls wisdom. Any ideas? No, it's not Charles Darwin. No. Any ideas? Yes. It is the dude in the middle. Do you know his name? Oh, now it's working. Oh, no, that's not here. Okay, so it is Friedrich Nietzsche. He's the guy in the middle there. Very depressing guy. What did he say about God again? He said something. Mr. Rogers, you know that, right? Friedrich Nietzsche said something about God. God is dead. That's what he said. That's right. Okay, so then we have postmodernism. Postmodernism. I did? Oh, rationalism. Okay, rationalism. If you went through high school, you know who this guy is. You should, anyway. Top where? Middle, what's his name? Rene Descartes, very good. Are you reading something? Are you no? No? You just okay, Rene Descartes. Yeah. Very good. Very good. Yeah, so that's the guy top middle. Okay, then we got postmodernism. Any idea who that is? Well, it doesn't really matter because it's relative anyway. All truth is relative. That's the question mark person. There's no real big father. Okay, atheism. Darwin isn't up there. No, that's not Darwin. Yes. A lot of them are atheists, true, but this will give it away. This guy's alive today, and he's a famous atheist. Huh? Richard Dawkins, that picture's right there. And finally, Marxism, and that's Karl Marx. Okay. Oh, now they spin. I had one spin. Oh, no, now they all go. Okay. All right, well, we'll get through this. Okay. True wisdom. Well, that is what the world looks at as being true wisdom. Let's see what Scripture says. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18. 19a, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolish with God. So it's not saying none of these people are smart. It's not saying none of these people have intellectual prowess. But they do. God has given much common grace to the world. Much common grace to the world. But the Lord chooses to show us wisdom. He chooses to give us foundational wisdom, life-giving wisdom. And we're studying this and looking at this year at youth camp in the book of Proverbs. I'll start at the very beginning of Proverbs. Maybe. There we go. Begins with Proverbs, very first verse, Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction. So that's wisdom. True wisdom is to know wisdom and instruction. True wisdom is to perceive words of understanding. To receive the instructions of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. Through wisdom, to give good sense to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear, increase, and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark saying, or the interpreted riddle. So it sounds all what it you want. To gain knowledge, this is all very true. Here to increase in learning. And this can apply almost all of the examples we've seen so far. Everything we've seen so far. Gain knowledge and understanding. That's what the wise person does, right? That's what the wise person does. And so I went to a very wise source. I asked AI. To give me a definition of wisdom. And this is what they said. Wisdom is the quality of being wise, which includes having good judgment, knowledge of what is true. It can also be defined as the ability to think and act using knowledge, experience, understanding, common sense, and insight. Sounds kind of like Proverbs 1 through 6, doesn't it? Sounds the same. And this is true. This is a bad definition. This is a good definition. Of wisdom. But the big key, the big difference comes verse 7 of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So this kind of sets in focus, this sets in narrow what Solomon is talking about. When he's talking about wisdom, when he's talking about knowledge, sure, general wisdom, general knowledge, these things can all apply to it. We're going to see this in a little bit too. When he's talking about wisdom, he's specifically talking about knowing the Lord, knowing God's will, following the Lord, living your life for the Lord. He repeats a verse like this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy, the knowledge of God, is understanding. So we looked at all these pictures, really wise people, really smart people, really successful people. And I gathered a few pictures. One is of a particular person. Others are just general pictures. There's just four. So this man is a very wise person. He's a witch doctor most of his life in Africa. And then the Lord saved him. And the Lord saved. These are pictures of, he doesn't have an education. He's very poor. But he knows the Lord. Why? Here's a young lady studying her Bible. Wise, it's a wise thing to do. Here we have a family engaging in family worship. Very wise, foundational. Foundational to wise living. We have a little child, a wise child, praying to the Lord. So we need to find this wisdom. We need to find, if we want to be wise, we need to search for wisdom and find it. Scripture speaks to this again. Happy or blessed is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver. To be wise is better than all the silver and gold in the world. Do you really believe that? You guys face a lot of challenges. You face a lot of different temptations or different worldviews. You're on social media. I hear that social media is a big thing nowadays. But if you're on social media, You're getting bombarded with all these different opulent lifestyles. All these amazing things that people are doing, these amazing vacations they're having, these amazing cars they're driving, these amazing clothes they wear, these amazing, I could keep going, these amazing experiences they're having, and you're not having any of that. Just the same. Wisdom is far better than any of that. So I'm saying you need to pursue wisdom, try to become wise. What's really amazing, too, is if we look at Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom is actually looking for you. Wisdom is looking for you. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the place of paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the door. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the Son of Man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. Wisdom, crying to us, hear me. as you can gather, we'll keep going here for a minute. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. We're starting to see a personification of wisdom here. Wisdom's more than just an attribute. It's actually starting to come alive as you read through Proverbs 8. It's righteous. It doesn't say anything wrong or perverse. Their words are plain to him that understandeth, and right to him that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. The wisdom, as you read through Proverbs 8, it's becoming alive. Coming alive, by me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me. Those that seek me early shall find me. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundation of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delight were with the sons of man. We started with wisdom, then we're getting wisdom personified. Any of you have any hint yet where we're going with this? Where is wisdom going? Kind of get wisdom becoming a person, but it gets even more specific. Look where else we Christ is calling you to wisdom. Jesus Christ is the wisdom here in Proverbs 8. And actually, you'll see, too, that when the Lord is calling us to be wise, he's calling us to Christ. He's calling us to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the foundation of wisdom. He is wisdom. Now, therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my way. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gate, waiting at the post of my door. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Christ, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, serving the Lord Jesus Christ, loving God's law, living your life for him, is more precious than all the silver and gold in the world. More precious than anything Instagram tries to sell you. More precious than anything Facebook or YouTube tries to show you. Because in Christ, you find life. In Christ, you find wisdom. And you never say, I'm wise. But you shouldn't. You find him. He is wisdom. He is wise. He is everything. He's everything you need in this world. He's everything you need for eternity. He is the beginning of wisdom. That's what it means to fear the Lord. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself here. And what does it mean to live wise? What does it mean? How do we glorify God? Well, what does it mean to fear God? Well, to fear God means to bow down in awe before him. The key to wisdom, the beginning of wisdom, is to fear God, to fall down before Him, trusting and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. And then what does the Lord do? The Lord gives us heart for the lifelong pursuit of wisdom. I know someone in my life, I'm not going to say who it is, but she's not very wise according to the world standard. She had maybe a sixth grade education. But she is very wise because she knows the Lord. She can never walk onto a stage or into an auditorium or has never done anything particularly hugely successful that the world would recognize. And yet compared to the most successful atheist, she is 100 times wiser. This is what the Lord does. This is what the Lord does in our life if we know the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us wisdom. He gives us hearts to pursue wisdom. Hearts that want to know His truth. He changes us so that we begin to love Him. And we begin to love our neighbor. That's wise living. The Lord also humbles us. He teaches us, gives us wisdom so that we realize we need more wisdom. And He teaches us to love righteousness and to hate wickedness. He teaches us to love God's law. I remember, and I think probably some of you can identify with this. You look at God's law, and you just, oh, this is so restrictive. Why can't I do these things? Or why can't I do these things? Or the law feels, it's like it feels like a restrictive word. And then you read like Psalm 119, and David's there, oh, how love I thy law. Loves God's law. He loves God's testimonies. But what happens? What happens is if your eyes are open to how God's law is good, it's a good thing in our lives. It's a good thing in our lives. And the Lord changes us so that we love His law. We see it as a good thing and our heart's desire to keep His law. So how do we go forward in living wisely? Well, we see this here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy path. Be wise not in thine own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bone. I want to turn to this text in 1 Corinthians just to really. It reinforces what Solomon is saying in Proverbs. It reinforces what he says in Proverbs about Jesus Christ being our wisdom. So Paul here is speaking and he's saying, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, Christ, the wisdom of God. So this week, we were going through Proverbs. And there's lots of practical applications to be taken from Proverbs. Lots of good ways to structure our lives and live our lives. The foundation of all that wisdom. What Solomon's trying to teach us, what the Lord's teaching us through his word. Number one, for this wisdom to really take hold in our lives, to really be wise, you must know the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be born again. You can change the outward. You can follow some of these things outwardly. But the only one who can change your heart is the Lord. He is wisdom. Continue. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. So we might skip over this very, very quickly as we're reading it, thinking, oh, he's just talking about like the men there. Well, this is actually about you. This is about me. The Lord is calling. Wisdom is calling. It's calling you. It's calling me. We're not mighty. We're not noble. But God uses the foolish things of this world. He uses the things that aren't mighty. And now, as he has been doing, wisdom is calling. Wisdom is calling you to follow him. God hath not chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, or hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and which are not, to bring to naught things that are, so that no flesh the glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. We want to live truly wise lives. Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So I hope I communicated to you through this the foundation of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ for true wisdom. And I hope as we go forward in this week, as we look at, and I'm confident all the other speakers will bring up the necessity of knowing him as well. But I hope as we go into this week, you realize that in order to be truly wise, to begin down the road of wisdom, the foundational thing, the number one thing, to fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The foundation of all wisdom. Amen. Let's pray. Our faithful Lord in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have pursued us, that you pursue us, crying out to us to hear you, crying out to us to listen. Lord, we confess our hard hearts. We confess how we stubbornly often go forward our own way, thinking ourselves wise. Lord, help us all to be wise. We would all know, love, and follow you, Lord Jesus. Open our eyes to your beauty. Open our eyes to what a great and awesome God you are. Lord, we pray that you would bless us in this night with the questions as well. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.